The Lord calls us to worship this morning from the book of Psalms, chapter 84. How lovely is your tabernacle, O Lord of hosts! My soul longs, yes, even faints, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from those who walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man who trusts in you. Amen. Great God and King, we come into your presence standing as you have called us to worship, to honor and to glorify, to lift up your name. And we also bow before you, recognizing your holiness and majesty and glory. And we cry out to you, the living God, the only true God, that you would pour out your spirit upon us, your people today, that our worship would be pleasing and glorious and joyful in your presence, that it would be acceptable in your sight. Our Father, at the dedication of the temple, a cloud filled that house of the Lord, so that the priests could not stand to minister because of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord had filled that house of God. O Lord, O Most High, may the glory of your Spirit's presence fill this house today, that we too might be overwhelmed with the weight of your greatness as we worship you. And Lord, we join our hearts and our voices now as we pray the prayer that you taught your disciples to pray, saying out loud, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. Amen. This morning for our confession of faith, we're going to recite together the Apostles' Creed. If you'd like to turn there, it's on page 845 in the green hymnal. Since this is a confession of our faith, I'm going to ask you, Christian, what do you believe?
I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
For all who look to the Lord Jesus Christ as their righteousness and leave aside all their own good works and any attempt to earn the favor and forgiveness of God, hear the assurance of God's pardon from the book of Psalms, chapter 51. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me hear joy and gladness, that the bones that you have broken may rejoice. Hide your face from my sins, and blot out my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence, and do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and uphold me by your generous spirit. Then I will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners shall be converted to you. Amen. Let's continue to worship the Lord now by turning in your hymnal to number 308 as we sing together, Jesus Paid It All. Children can come forward at this time for the children's sermon. Good morning, boys and girls.
Good morning.
Might have to scooch in a little bit. Good to see you all. And thank you all for such a beautiful song that you shared with us this morning from Psalm 139. I wanted to ask you, is anybody almost done or did you finish with school this week? Anybody? Almost done?
Almost.
20 or 19 more days.
Okay. We are counting down. Well, I want to ask you, when you think about summer, when you think about summertime, being out of school, not having to go each day or not having to go to the table and do the same schoolwork that you normally would do, what is the first thing that you think about with summertime that you enjoy doing? Anybody?
Swimming.
James?
Swimming.
Lydia? Okay. Katie?
Playing.
Finley?
Swimming.
Swimming? Okay.
The creek.
The creek? Anybody like playing in the creek?
We have a huge one.
Yes. Kayla?
We played in the woods.
Playing with friends in the woods? You played in the creek yesterday?
Yeah.
How nice. Emma?
Swimming.
Going to the beach? Going to the beach? Yes, Danny? Sleeping in. What is that? What is that? That phenomenon.
Hiking,
okay. Well, I wanna ask you to think about something today. Because, oh, Abigail.
Going to the water park?
Going to the water park? Yes. I think it's wonderful that we have things in our minds, even before we get up, that we're thinking, I really hope I get to do this today. I really want to. I'm looking forward to it. I don't have these responsibilities of school that I normally do. And I can't wait. You ever think that? I just can't wait. That's what today is going to be. I'm so excited. I want to ask you about something, though, because I think there is a part of the joy of enjoying that if it is rightly placed in your day and in your heart, I think not only will you enjoy it, but you will also glorify God in it. If you make your day totally and only about that thing, I imagine it's not going to be as joyous as you hoped. Because actually, I think when you think about starting your day that way, well, this is what I want to do. This is what I'm looking forward to. You're totally focused on you. And so if anything happens that interrupts that or maybe causes it to be 5 minutes later than you thought it was going to be, it crushes your soul because you put all the weight of your happiness and joy and delight in it. And I want to share a psalm with you, just a couple verses of a Psalm 19. It says, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows his handiwork. Day unto day utters speech, and night unto night reveals knowledge." So there's something that you need to do, I think, even before you think about putting that swimsuit on or putting on some clothes to go do a hike in your boots, is to pause and say, "God, you are the one who made me and this world and everything in it. You made all the beautiful stars and the skies of the heavens. And so I want to glorify you today, first and foremost. And I pray that you would let me enjoy this fun thing that I want to do." I think if your heart is there, or even if it's not, you can ask Jesus to help you. That I want this other thing more than I want to see your glory. But I imagine, I trust, based upon God's word, that he will answer that prayer. If you say, "Glorify yourself in my day and help me to enjoy this," I think he will. I'm going to pray for you. Father in heaven, I thank you for our covenant children, for the smiling faces, for the hopefulness of school ending soon, for fun days to get to do things that we enjoy. Lord, I thank you for the excitement that was shared as we talked about things that we look forward to doing, playing at the water park or swimming in the pool or going out and playing with friends. Lord, I pray that you would fill our hearts with joy as we do these things because you delight to see your children loving this world that you have made and loving you in it. Lord, I pray as they wake up that you would capture their hearts with your beauty and wonder, that as they run outside that they would see and rejoice and declare the words of Psalm 19, that the heavens are declaring the glory of God. Lord, I pray that their hearts would be turned to you, and that they would also look to you to enjoy and experience the delight of what you have given them to do. Lord, I pray for their faith in you, that you would turn their hearts to you, and that at a young age, our covenant children will cry out to you in saving faith. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. This morning for our responsive reading, if you would please take your hymnal and turn to page 799. Page 799, we're going to continue with Psalm 40. We're beginning with verse 11 on page 799. I'll begin with the light portion. Please respond out loud together with the bold. Do not withhold your mercy from me, O Lord. May your love and your truth always protect me.
Troubles without number surround me. My sins have overtaken me,
They are more than the hairs of my head, and my heart fails within me. May all who seek to take my life be put to shame and confusion. All who desire my ruin be turned back in disgrace.
May those who say to me, "Aha, aha," be appalled at their own shame.
But may all who seek you rejoice and be glad in you.
May those who love your salvation always say, "The Lord be exalted."
Yet I am poor and needy. May the Lord think of me.
You are my help and my deliverer. O my God, do not delay.
Amen. Let's turn in our hymnals now and stand together as we sing "I Need Thee Every Hour," page 674. This month, for our pastoral prayer time, we are praying for two of our missionaries, Roger and Laura Dye, with Family Life Global. Roger and Laura actually live here in Fairfield County, here in Winnsboro. They enjoy the beautiful fair fields that you do, but they are serving in the Latin American world. Roger does translation work to take good Christian biblical materials and translate them from English into Spanish, so that our brothers and sisters who don't have the same benefits we do can read the good, biblical, solid theology teaching that we enjoy. And in their newsletter that they sent out, and if you're not signed up for their newsletter, I'd be happy to tell you about it, how to get online to be able to sign up for it. But in their newsletter that they sent us for January, they asked two specific prayer requests. And so I wanted to pray for those today, to pray for Roger and Laura, that the Lord would be near to them. The first is that the Lord would provide for their particular needs. They were asked to raise $2,000 additional dollars in their support for the work that they're doing so that the Lord would expand their ministry. And so we want to pray that the Lord will meet their financial needs. And also, they asked for prayer for Roger's health as he struggled a bit in the months of November and December. So I just want to pray for these two things and to lift them up before the throne of grace. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you and we praise you that you are our God and Father. That you, the one who hung the stars and the planets and the moons, are the God who made us in your image, that we might glorify and enjoy you in this world. Lord, we thank you and praise you that in your grace and in your mercy, you sent your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to die upon the cross that he might satisfy all righteousness, that you would be exalted, that we might be able to be saved because of your work. Lord, we thank you and we praise you for the blood of Jesus that covers our sins. And we come to you now as your children. We ask that you would turn our hearts to you. That as we pray to you, that we would believe by faith that you hear us and that you answer according to your good providence. Lord, we lift up to you today two of your servants, Roger and Laura Dye, missionaries that we support with our finances, but also with our prayers and fellowship in the gospel. Lord, I pray that you would have your hand upon Roger's body, that what he has struggled with in previous months will be delivered from his body, that he will not continue to struggle with these things, that he's a man like us with day-to-day challenges and problems, things that come up and interrupt work that make it difficult to complete normal and ordinary tasks. So we pray for our brother that you would sustain him by your grace, that you would spare his health, if it be your will. And Lord, help him to trust you in the midst of that difficulty. And Lord, as Roger and Laura look to raise additional money in this calendar year, we pray that you would help them to do so with joy and by faith, that they would believe that you are the God who provides for them, just as you provide for us. Lord, we pray that you would help us to pray for them, to remember to take them before the throne of grace, as we pray for our own families. Lord, help us to remember our missionaries. And Lord, I pray for their hearts before you. I pray for their joy and delight in the work that you've given them, that it will be for your glory that they serve you in the world. Lord, I pray for our own congregation, our members, and those who are here with us today, as we celebrate this Lord's Day, as we rejoice in the resurrection. Lord, I pray for those in our midst who are mothers, or those who wanted to be mothers, those who look at their life as a mom or a grandmother and say, I wish I could have done better or done more, or I wish that I hadn't failed in the ways that I did. Lord, I pray that you would draw near to our mothers this morning, our grandmothers, great-grandmothers, that they would look to you by faith. We're about to open your word and read what your word says to us. And Lord, we acknowledge and admit before you that unless you open our hearts and our eyes, we won't see it, we won't understand it. And unless you do a mighty work in us by your Spirit, we will not have our hearts turned to you. We cannot simply read the Bible and understand it apart from your grace. So we cry out before you, we humble ourselves before you, that not only would you give us understanding of the things that we hear, but also that you would turn our hearts and our wills to you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you.
I want to invite you to open your Bibles this morning to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 4. Matthew, chapter 4, we're going to read verses 1 through 11. Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 through 11. This is the word of the Lord. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, afterward he was hungry. Now when the tempter came to him, he said, "If you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread." But he answered and said, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God." Then the devil took him up into the holy city, set him on the pinnacle of the temple, and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge over you, and in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone." And Jesus said to him, "It is written again, you shall not tempt the Lord your God." Again, the devil took him up on an exceedingly high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him, "All these things I will give you if you will fall down and worship me." Then Jesus said to him, "Away with you, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only you shall serve." Then the devil left him, and behold, angels came and ministered to him. The grass withers and the flowers fade, but the word of our God abides forever. Today's sermon is entitled, Rugged Motherhood. Rugged Motherhood. To be a mom is a high honor. It is a sacred calling from Almighty God, and for many of you, it is an answer to prayer. I wonder, though, if you would say, "I thought I misread something or misheard when he said rugged motherhood." Is rugged the adjective to describe a lady who runs a home, who raises children, who loves and supports her husband? From a Google search I did, this is an example of the use of the adjective rugged. Jeeps are rugged vehicles designed for rough conditions. No comment about the Jeep, whether or not that's true, but I wonder, moms, if you think of yourself that way, that God designed me specifically. He gave me these children and not someone else's, and he knew exactly the rough conditions I would be living in right now today. Maybe you would say, as you consider it, "Mom, well, I thought I knew what I was doing. I thought I was cut out for this." Or maybe you would say, "I don't think I am." Or maybe you'd say today, "I'm just tired. I'm just tired." My goal and my hope is that the Lord will encourage you today, moms, and he will reveal for you rich storehouses of his grace for your day-to-day laboring as unto the Lord in the work that God himself has given you to do, and remind you that he's writing a story with your life for his glory. This morning, as we consider this text and look at the temptation of Jesus in the wilderness, his encounter with Satan, I want to do so under two headings, and the second one will be a bit longer than the first one. But maybe this is a question you moms have asked as you've woken up, whether it's in the middle of the night or early in the morning. Where am I? Where am I? That's point number one, the first heading. Where am I? It says in verse 1 of Matthew chapter 4, and sometimes we kind of dismiss these parts of location in the Bible, but it says Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. So the Spirit of God had caused Jesus to leave where he was, to go into the wilderness intentionally that he would be tempted by the devil. You say, Mom, where am I? And my first subpoint is quite simply, exactly where God has ordained you to be, with him. Some of us have a difficult time answering that question. Where am I? What is going on? This is motherhood. This is what it means to raise a family. This is what it means to teach my children. Psalm 139, verse 7, asks a question. Where can I go from your spirit? Dear Mom, you are right where God intends you to be, and he is right there with you. He promises not to leave his children. He doesn't leave you, Mom. But I want to ask you, dear ones, have you come to terms with, and are you resting each and every day, each and every long night, each and every late night or early morning? Are you resting in the sovereignty of God in your life? I don't mean the vast, big picture that, yes, I believe Jesus saved me, that Jesus came and forgave my sins by dying upon the cross, that he is preparing a place in heaven for me one day. Those are statements about the sovereignty of God, and absolutely, they are true, and we affirm them with vigor as a church family. I don't mean the vast, big picture, but I mean specifically, as you affirm and rest in the sovereignty of God, do you believe that your yesterday, that your today, and that all of your tomorrows are in his almighty power, and that he is ordering and shaping and establishing the steps of your feet? That sovereignty isn't something that's out there that one day I will enjoy when I am in eternity in heaven forever, but that right now I am enjoying the firm grip of my Heavenly Father because he is with me. Psalm 139, verses 3 and 5. You comprehend my path and my lying down and are acquainted with all my ways. You have hedged me behind and before and laid your hand upon me. This is a promise. This is an affirmation. When it seems that the ground beneath your feet, the place that you call home, is unsettled. This is for people, for moms, who don't know how to answer certain questions, who don't know what the right next step is. The Lord is with you. He has hedged you in. He knows the path of your feet. You're rising up and you're laying down. And he knows your griefs. J.I. Packer wrote that if you ask, why is this happening? No light may come. But if you ask, how am I to glorify God now in the midst of this? Whatever your this is, and you have one, or maybe you have several. How am I to glorify God in this now? There will always be an answer. You may not get an answer if you ask, why is this happening? Why can't this be easier? Why won't my children obey? Why doesn't my husband understand? Why won't he listen? Why won't he ask? If you ask, why is this happening? No light may come. But if you ask, why, God, in the midst of this, how can you help me to understand and to glorify you in this right now? He will most certainly answer. So as we consider the temptations of Jesus this morning, I want to consider some affirmations in the face of temptation that I believe are specifically helpful, and I pray the Lord will use them to encourage your heart, Mom, Grandmother. I pray that the Lord will use them to draw you to himself, to see the beauty of your Savior and his provision for you. So point number two, three affirmations in the face of temptation. The first affirmation, number one, my Heavenly Father will supply my needs. In verse 3, the devil came to Jesus and said, command that these stones become bread. And question number one about that, could Jesus have done it? He absolutely could have. There is no doubt that he could do exactly that. But what the devil was insinuating in this temptation is, you don't have what you need. You don't have what you need, Mom. It's a not so subtle attack. It's an old tactic. But why change it if it works? This is exactly what was whispered to Eve and Adam in the garden in Genesis chapter 3. You don't have the food you need. You better go grab it from that tree. You don't have what you need, Mom. Remember when Satan came with these words to Jesus. Remember when he came to Jesus. It says in verse 2 that he had been fasting 40 days and 40 nights, and afterward he was hungry. Jesus, the man, was hungry. He hadn't eaten. And Jesus came to him after 40 days and 40 nights without food. Command that these stones become bread. I'll give you what you need. Trust me. You've been trusting God, and what has it done for you? How have you been sustained and nourished? These are the questions that he's asking. Parenting and mothering will consistently demand more than you think you have to give. Physically, yes, but also emotionally and spiritually. You will sometimes lie down at night sincerely convinced you won't have enough for another day. I barely made it through this one. And I've got to get up and start it all over again tomorrow. Mothering can make tomorrow feel like both an inevitability and an impossibility at the same time. It is bearing down on me and there's nothing I can do about it and I have nothing in the tank. And you might begin to wish that you could turn stones into some bread. I just don't want to make another meal. I don't want to hear another "Mom, can I have?" Or maybe you would say, "I don't know that I want to turn any stones into bread, but I sure would like to be able to snap my fingers and that pile of dirty laundry be clean and folded." Look at Jesus' response that he spoke to his enemy and ours, the enemy of our souls. Jesus doesn't say, "I don't need food." I think that would be a denial of his humanity to say, "I don't need food, I'm not hungry." He hasn't eaten for 40 days and 40 nights. He doesn't say, "I don't need food," but he is saying that there is something more important than food in his life, that rightly relating to his heavenly Father in the truth is more important than his next meal. And the Lord taught him that in his humanity. He learned that in 40 days and 40 nights of not having enough. "There is one thing in my life that's more important than any other thing, being satisfied by the living God as you feed upon the promises of his word. And his word is, dear Mom, sufficient to sustain you for another day of battle." Affirmation number 2. My heavenly Father will come through for me. My heavenly Father will come through for me. The devil took Jesus, it says, up to the pinnacle of the temple, to a high place. And he says, "Here, throw yourself down," in verse 6. "Throw yourself down. Let's see what happens." I wonder if some of you think, "Well, God got me through yesterday, but there wasn't really any danger. Now tomorrow, that's another story. God got me through the easy, but I don't know what's coming tomorrow, and I'm fearful and I'm worried and I'm afraid, and I just don't know." It's wicked and sinister on a couple levels. Here he goes to Jesus and says, he makes up something. He makes up something. "Just throw yourself down, see what happens. Maybe God will take care of you." It diminishes the faithfulness of God in the past to go to Jesus and say this. And it dreams up an imaginary danger to encourage doubt. And the enemy does that with you too. He does it with you. He does it with me. That trust and peace in God, those are mistakes. You had better worry about tomorrow. You had better think about it and consider it. It's what if on steroids. And I wonder if some of you moms live here. That the faithfulness of God and the provision of God is diminished in your heart and your mind because the what ifs push it out. God is faithful. I believe that. He got me through this. I got through the difficult years of the diapers and the the sippy cups. And now that's behind me, and now it seems small, but now there's so much in front of me, and I have teenagers, and they want the car, and they need gas money, and they want to work, and there's emotions involved now. And all I had to do before was change diapers and feed, and sometimes that baby would sleep. And now things are different. What is going to happen? The enemy of your soul knows how to make the next 24 hours feel larger and heavier than years or even decades of God's persistent faithfulness in your life. It is the fickleness of our hearts that attaches to that. This time, when Jesus responds to the enemy, he holds up a command, not a promise, in response. Jesus believes the promises. He's holding them. But here, what he armed himself with in the Word of God was a command. You shall not put the Lord your God to the test. I believe this is help for you and me in moments of temptation, of great weakness, that the commands of God are good. They are helpful and they are right. They give us freedom. They put guardrails around our heart and our life and our actions and our fears. The commands of God are good and helpful for His people. And I wonder, Mom, if you would consider some of these commands in the Scriptures as help for you in the wilderness of the days that you have. Colossians chapter 3, verse 12. All of us need this, but I believe moms particularly and especially do. Colossians 3:12. Put on then, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. You say, well, I need that just to make it to the kitchen table. We haven't even gotten to the day yet, really. Or Matthew chapter 6, verse 34. Do not be anxious about tomorrow. When it's rising in your soul, when the what ifs are scratching at you, when there is joy and peace in the Lord, and then doubt begins to creep in, do not be anxious about tomorrow, O soul. Hope in God. Do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Mom, I want to ask you, and I want to encourage you, are you filling your heart and mind with the Word of God? Because He has given it to you as a weapon against the flaming arrows of the enemy of your soul. The enemy doesn't just want you to doubt. That's just a step along the path. He doesn't want you to just fear or ask what if. Those are just other stepping stones in life. What he wants for you is to have no trust and no joy and no delight in Jesus or in the provisions of his word. That you would read it and set it down and say, well, that's for the good spiritual people whose children listen and obey and whose husbands are attentive. But I'm living in the real world. He wants you to believe God's word is not enough. He wants you to believe that the commandments and promises are for someone else and not for you. They are for you, dear mom. Affirmation number 3. My Heavenly Father has reserved an inheritance for me. In the third temptation, the devil took Jesus up to a high mountain, and he showed him the glory and the beauty and the splendor of the kingdoms of the world. And he says, all this I will give you if you will but fall down and worship me. All these things are under my authority. I'll give them to you. It's an appeal to a doorway to power and authority and glory. But all of those things in a hollow way, without the brutality, the pain, and the anguish of the cross. I wonder if you've heard these whispers, dear mom. They strike at the heart of us as human beings made in the image of God. Look how much you're giving up, Mom, staying home with those children. You gave up a career. You gave up a name for yourself. You gave up a salary. You gave up the esteem of your peers to do this work. Think about the opportunities that are out there. Or what about this? No one even notices what you do, but they absolutely expect you to do it. All parents under the authority of the living God, all parents, especially moms, forfeit something of what Satan was offering to Jesus that day. We invest an extraordinary amount of time, attention, and money during our strongest and most energetic years to change diapers and make snacks, to practice writing letters and rereading simple books over and over again, to play catch and to wipe tears. And Satan knows how to make all of that seem so, so small. And just about anything else that the world has to offer, so great and worth it. That you would give away some of these most wonderful years for the sake of chasing something you have no guarantee of ever having. But the enemy insinuated it. And we hear those lies, and they get to us. And Jesus responds with another command from God's word. He says, "Get away from me, Satan. Be gone." Jesus refused to seize glory. We read that in Philippians chapter 2. Jesus refused to seize glory. Not only because he knew that the law of God said it, but because he knew that the law of God was the script for his greatest possible joy, and for you and for me. Dear friends, if Jesus crumbled here, we are not in the kingdom. We are not children of the living God. We are not adopted sons and daughters. We are people on the outside, left in the cold. And Jesus, our great high priest, refused what the enemy offered him. Jesus was walking in the law of God, and he was enjoying it. He knew that it was right. And one by one, these sufferings that Jesus endured, even this temptation in the desert, in the wilderness of life, paves a pathway to the feast. He knew that by obeying here, he was making a place for you at the table. That the most satisfying lives are firmly anchored in and pointed at the glory of God. I wonder, Mom, if some of what you wrestle with is that, is this my life? Is this what it's about, the day to day? This really is my worth? Who am I? But to focus on self as a savior or as a parent would be to forfeit everything. Jesus warns us later, whoever would save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits his soul? Whoever loses his life for my sake. Christian parenting, Christian mothering often feels like that kind of sacrifice. And it should. That is, if we want to find the experience of true life and joy in the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to end just briefly, Mom, with a couple questions and an encouragement. Because I wonder if for some of you, what is difficult is, if I'm getting it wrong, then there's something I need to go do to make it right. If I'm not enough as a mom, if I'm not enough as a woman, as a wife, as a grandmother, then the thing I need to do is go do some more work and try harder. I want to encourage you to do something, Mom. I want to encourage you to be still before the Lord. You see, what Jesus was armed with was the Word of God. I want to encourage you, Mom, soak up the Word of God. Fill your heart and your mind with it. That would be what flows out of you as the enemy aims arrows and fiery darts at your soul. And he does. And he's good at it. He is wily and he is patient. I want to encourage you, Mom, sit before the Lord and be still. Whether it's laundry or whiny voices or snotty noses, sit before the Lord and be still. I want to end with one other quote from J.I. Packer. He says that to wait on the Lord is a constant refrain in the Psalms, and it is a necessary word, for God often keeps us waiting. He is not in such a hurry as we are, and it is not his way to give more light on the future than we need for our action in the present, or to guide us more than one step at a time. When in doubt, do nothing, but continue to wait on God. When action is needed, light will come. I pray, dear Mom, that you find your sufficiency, your worth, and your value in what you are doing in the Lord, and not in your performance, not in your competency, not in your skills, and not even in the way you would say, I am self-sacrificing, but that your sufficiency would be in the Lord Jesus Christ and the joy of your work as a mom, whether they are babies or teenagers or adult children who still need to come home. Find your joy and delight in Him. Let us pray. Father in heaven, I pray that you would use your word today. These thoughts about the wilderness of motherhood and the ruggedness that it takes day in and day out, night in and night out. Lord, I pray that you would build up our moms, that they would know the strength and the joy of your grip in their lives. And Lord, I pray that you would help them in the very strong war and temptation that it is to do what they are doing, what you have called and equipped them to do. And Lord, I pray that their delight in your word would be what is overflowing out of their mothering. And Lord, where they would say, it's not. The joy of the Lord is not my strength today. I pray that they would draw near to you and that you would draw near to them and satisfy their soul, that it's not their performance that makes a good mom. It is the living God's Spirit in them, turning them to you. Lord, I pray that we would celebrate them today, that we would enjoy them as the gifts that they are, that you have given by your providence. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Let's stand together now and respond to God's word by singing hymn number 676, Day by Day. To the glory of God. Thank you, Callie. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for being able to participate in this part of worship and bringing to you with joy our tithes and our offerings. And we pray, Lord, that you would use them for your glory, that the name of the Lord Jesus Christ would be spread abroad because of our faithfulness in giving as you have been faithful to provide. Lord, I pray that you would continue to meet the needs of Lebanon Presbyterian Church, and I pray that you would continue to be faithful to your people, providing for their needs, and may you overjoy their hearts in seeing how you provide and take care of them as a family. In Jesus' name, amen. Benediction of our Lord. Now the God whose affection never cools, whose attention never wavers, whose arm never relaxes, and whose grace never fails, rescue you from every evil attack and bring you safely to his heavenly kingdom. Amen.